This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, St Patrick's Athletic and Bohemians book their spots in the last eight of the FAI Cup. Troy Parrott looks set to be on his way to La Liga as the West Ham interest cools off. Arsenal thump Manchester City in the Community Shield as Rodri's move to Barcelona moves a step closer. Teenager Sam Rooney scored a glorious first senior goal for the club as St Patrick's Athletic produced a comeback for the ages to knock holders Shamrock Rovers out and book their place in Tuesday's FAI Cup quarter-final draw. Trailing 2-0 at half-time to goals from Jonathan Afolabi and Michael Noonan, Saints came alive in the second half to avenge three defeats to the rivals this season in a rip-roaring rollercoaster Dublin derby. Luke Turner pulled a goal back early on in the second half before Aidan Keane provided drama to equalise from a 94th-minute penalty. Substitute Rooney, a Tallaght native, then provided the fairy tale finish, the 17-year-old rifling home an extra time winner to leave the Richmond Park faithful in full raptures. Pat's head coach Stephen Kenny told their in-house media channel that it was great to come back after being two goals down.
Yeah, it was brilliant to win it. The place was electric today. 2-0 down. I felt we played well. First half hour really well in the game. To find ourselves 2-0 down at half time was tough. But the players responded brilliantly and thankfully we got the win.
Whilst Stephen Bradley told Shamrock Rovers TV that his side didn't manage the game well enough.
Proud of what the players brought to the game. First of all, we asked for a response after Thursday and they give that, to be fair. You look at some of them, the likes of Jack has obviously played full game Thursday, travelled and given everything there in terms of right through extra time. So a lot of what they brought to the table was good. We're two up, we're in a commanding position. We just need to manage the second half better. There was moments in the second half where we didn't manage well enough. And that's unlike us. But we didn't do it and allowed them to get momentum. And they obviously they score.
Next for Shamrock Rovers is a crucial Europa Conference League playoff with Cups of Finland and Tala on Thursday night. And on Yes's Football Sunday, Shane Hannan was joined by Tim Clancy and Shane Keegan. And the trio spoke of how nobody's putting up a fight to the league champions to take their title.
Yeah, it's just been so disappointing that you would have thought if Rovers had only accumulated the points tally they have at the moment that there'd be one or two clubs breathing down their throats.
Yeah.
But there's not. You know, there's not.
There's been no real pressure. The only pressure Shamrock Rovers have had in the last 6-7 years is Damien Duff's Shelburne team that won the league. I think as well, like the European money is really interesting because it is a good pot, but half of that money is nearly gone with bonuses and travel before the club actually gets it themselves. I don't think, like, see when Shamrock Rovers get 3-point-something million for getting to the group stage.
Yeah.
A good chunk of that, I'd say players, their pool of the bonus would be 20% plus, and I'd say the staff would be close enough to that as well.
Yeah, people think they've won the lottery, but
yes,
the best
and then you, and then you also go with the travel arrangements. You're hoping, like, you're praying that you get Larne the way Shells did, and it costs you the bus up the road and the hotel rather than going to somewhere where you have to, now you have to charter flights obviously to the games later in the stages, but some of the like the easy ones to travel to, I think Sligo got Ballytown and Motherwell 1 year, which easy to get to for Irish teams, and others when we went to Slovenia you had to get, we flew back from, I think it was Austria, we got the train up or whatever it was, the bus up the train, I don't know what it was mad to try and get home. So I think a lot of clubs are chasing that European money, but it's not as big of a pot as you think. What's left over after that doesn't cover their wage budget for the season. And then you're dipping into the season ticket sales and whatever other stuff. So I don't think it's as big as a reward as it maybe used to be a lot of years ago.
Bohemians made an all Premier Division last eight following a comfortable 4-0 win over Longford Town at Dalymount Park. Harry Vaughan got one, Colin Whelan got two, whilst Connor Parsons added the fourth for Alan Reynolds' side. Reynolds told Bo's in-house media channel that it was professional performance from his team.
Yeah, delighted. You know, it was about giving fellas minutes and look, the main thing is to get into the next round. Made changes, brought players in. Sads needed 90 minutes. So look, delighted to introduce Paddy and Josh comes on. But look, really professional, got the job done.
So eight Premier Division sides, the first time since 1985 that that's happened, will take their places in tomorrow's FAI Cup quarter-final draw. St Patrick's Athletic and Bohemians will be joined by Waterford, Galway United, Sligo Rovers, Derry City, Drogheda United and Dundalk. It has been assumed all summer that Troy Parrott would be switching clubs, with his club AZ Alkmaar opening to selling for around €30 million. It's been said that West Ham are leading the race for a signature, having an €18 million bid rejected for the player last week. However, the London club have apparently switched focus towards Leeds United's striker Joël Pirro, as they deem Parrott's price tag to be too high. Reports in the Netherlands this morning say that Real Betis have now emerged as the strong favourites to sign Parrott, with negotiations between the two clubs said to be in the final stages. The La Liga club have long been credited with an interest in the Irishman, although there had been few updates on the pursuit of the player over the last few weeks. They are keen to reinforce their squad after qualifying for this season's Champions League, with the new striker top of their wish list. It remains to be seen whether they will meet AZ Alkmaar's asking price. Real Betis face Real Sociedad on Friday in their opening La Liga game and could look to wrap up the deal for the 24-year-olds ahead of that game. The club qualified for the Champions League for the first time since 2005 last season and will aim to make a big impact in Europe over the coming months. Former West Brom and Brighton fullback Sebastian Pocagnoli has been appointed as the new head coach of Scotland. He led them into Nations League after succeeding Steve Clark on an initial two-year contract. As a manager, the Belgian guided Union Saint-Gilloise to their first league title in 90 years in 2025. SFA Chief Football Officer Craig Mulholland says his style of play will excite supporters. New Rangers boss Derek McInnes is hopeful they can bring in two forwards before the end of the month. He has his first win since taking charge after easing past Scottish League Cup holders St Mirren 5-1, the set of a quarter-final with Old Firm rivals Celtic. McInnes says they know they need to strengthen in attacking areas.
I sit at the training ground and next door to the offices are all the lads who are working hard to get us over the line for us. But they're normally the hardest ones to get because they normally come with a premium and they normally come because they're good players and we're not the only show in town. So you've got to work really hard to get these players.
An early Owen Elding effort was enough for Hibernian to see off a spirited Partick Thistle 1-0 in the Premier Sports Cup. The Irish forward grabbed his third of the campaign with a back post tap-in to send David Gray's side into the last eight of the competition. Manager Mikel Arteta was quick to highlight Arsenal's desire to go again as the Premier League champions beat Manchester City 3-0 in the Community Shield in Cardiff yesterday. Ricardo Calafiori, Kai Havertz and Martin Odegaard scored in a dominant performance. Arteta says it was the work rate that impressed him the most.
They are really good examples, and the way the team track backs is just unbelievable. Fitness-wise, you are not there, so you have to get there in a different way. And when you put your soul and your heart into every action, that's what happens. If you desire to do that in the manner that we've done it today, and I'm really pleased with that.
It looks like Rodri's seven-year stay at Manchester City is coming to an end. The Spain captain is expected to sign a four-year contract with Barcelona, who've had a €76.5 million bid accepted. Rodri missed City's defeat to Arsenal yesterday, speaking after the game, but before the deal became public, boss Enzo Maresca says he's not surprised the midfielder is wanted by top clubs.
I said already, Rodri is a player that just won the World Cup, Ballon d'Or. It's a top player that all the teams, they need a player like Rodri.
Meanwhile, Manchester City are in advanced talks with Lille over a move for Morocco midfielder Ayoub Bouadi. The Premier League side wants to conclude the transfer this week after agreeing to sell Rodri to Barcelona. It is understood that Lille valued the 18-year-old at €100 million. Bouadi impressed at this summer's World Cup, starting five of Morocco's six matches in the run to the quarterfinals after a starring role in Lille's Champions League victory over Real Madrid in 2024 announced him on the big stage. Bouadi has played 88 times for Lille since making his debut in October 2023, 3 days after his 16th birthday, and helped him to finish third in Ligue 1 last season. One player whose future at the club is still undecided is Jack Grealish. And this morning on Off the Ball Breakfast, the Athletic's Sam Lee joined Cullen Buhig and said that Grealish is in the shop window.
To go back to the forward side of it, like, didn't you have this kind of bizarre sighting, Sam, of Jack Grealish back in a Man City jersey? And he was number 10, wasn't he? He's wearing number 18 now because he lost that to Turkey. And that was his number at Everton. And he's doing his thing. He comes on at half time and he's hogging the left touchline and he's great at retaining possession, but you're still waiting for that Grealish to spark. And I do wonder, like, is Grealish going to stay there for the season? What's going to happen with him? Can he recapture his form from that treble winning season?
I think he was just a shop window situation yesterday.
Yeah.
Also, like, Doku went off at half time. He had ice on his calf, I think it was. They've got no other wingers in the squad. Savinho's not there because he's going to Tottenham. Ryan McAdoo, the young lad, he's injured anyway. He's got a shoulder injury. So there's no other wingers to come on, and he obviously came on. Maresca really likes him, like, as a guy, because Maresca was perhaps assistant in the treble year, and that's when Grealish had his best season. And everyone likes Grealish as a guy. But, you know, he's not at City, not because, you know, he's too much of a free spirit, or he's just never available, and, like, he doesn't look after himself brilliantly. And that's the bottom line, basically. And I think, you know, Maresca knows that. And, you know, we can look at the situations that's going on publicly. Like, you know, you mentioned earlier, he's waiting to see what happens with the Rodri situation regarding the captaincy. He knows Rodri's going. He can't admit it publicly, but he knows Rodri's going. And now we're seeing that happen. Like, Grealish, as much as they were going to take him on pre-season if he'd been available, there's no real thinking of giving him an opportunity this season. As long as possibly, or probably Everton, as long as somebody comes along and says, yeah, we'll take him, that's what's going to happen. But yeah, like, ideally, if you've got Grealish getting back to his best and locks in and he plays like he did in the second half of that treble season, then fantastic. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's just not been able to do it. And he kind of, I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't been able to lock in, but he just hasn't. And it's on him, really.
And remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. Tottenham have accepted a loan offer from Juventus for goalkeeper Guillermo Vicario, which includes an option to buy. The Italy international is set to travel to Turin to complete a move back to Serie A with a non-mandatory £8.6 million purchase option included in the deal. It follows Juventus' attempts to sign Aston Villa goalkeeper Emiliano Martinez, which has collapsed as Villa close in on signing Parma's Zion Suzuki. Martinez was known to have an injured finger and is currently unavailable for selection. Vicario, meanwhile, lost his place in the Spurs side under manager Roberto De Zerbi, who prompted understudy Anton Kinski into the role last season. De Zerbi has since confirmed Kinski will remain his first-choice goalkeeper for the new season, with Martin Dubravka signed on a free transfer from Burnley in July to provide competition and cover as part of a club record spending spree by the North London club, who have signed six players while targeting two further attacking additions. They've also sold, loaned out, or released several former first-team players, including captain Christian Romero, England international Jed Spence, and Yves Bissouma. Vicario made 117 appearances for Spurs after joining from Empoli for £17.2 million in 2023. Taiwo Awoniyi is close to a £70 million move to Coventry from Nottingham Forest. The popular striker was given a warm send-off by fans at the City Ground in Sunday's 2-0 friendly defeat against French side Brest. Striker Chris Wood says he wishes the Nigerian well.
He's been a big player for us in the dressing room and for the fans here at Nottingham Forest. So that was a sign of respect to him and his family, what we wanted to do at half-time. It's fantastic to see and win if it's finalised, all good. We wish him all the best.
Cristiano Ronaldo believes that this year is probably his last as a professional footballer. The 41-year-old Portugal captain said in an interview with Vogue magazine published on Sunday. Ronaldo, who has scored more than 950 goals for club and country, had previously spoken of retiring soon or within 1 or 2 years. This is probably my last year of football and I want to leave a spectacular legacy, the Al Nassr forward told Vogue, saying his future after football was all mapped out. Ronaldo married his partner Georgina Rodriguez in a ceremony in the Portuguese resort of Cascais on Tuesday. After being part of the Portugal side, which reached the last 16 of the World Cup this summer, Ronaldo is due to link with Al Nassr for the new Saudi Pro League season. Our Premier League commentaries will return this Sunday with Manchester City taking on Bournemouth and Newcastle United hosting Liverpool to kick off proceedings. And ahead of the new season, Owen Heary and Keith Tracy join John Duggan on this week's Football Saturday and look ahead to which teams can possibly challenge Arsenal for the title.
Compare the United teams going back so many years, it's hard to compare them because they're nowhere near that level anymore. Like, and the signings they're bringing in are nowhere near that level either. But I do think they are a lot better building process now. But they just don't seem to want to spend the money. And, you know, back Carrick, that's the thing at the moment. Like, they're in Champions League and Carrick has come out saying they need to get these players in, but they don't seem to be backing them on it at the moment. And you wonder why. Are they thinking, well, we'll see how it goes with Carrick before we back him, maybe the next transfer window? But, it'll be interesting to see if they do get one or two more in before it finishes.
Bruno Fernandes is their world-class player, 21 assists last season. And playing a more advanced role obviously helps. They got 19 goals from set pieces in the Premier League last season. But they'd no other distractions. They'd nothing. They'd no cup competitions. They'd no European football. No wonder they finished third.
Yeah.
That's the problem they have now, isn't it? Like, And then you're like, when you're looking back, their last title was 2013. I mean, they're not title contenders, surely, no?
No, I don't think so. I think a huge, you know, United fans don't like when you point this out, but I think a huge point of, you know, how they finished towards last season was the absence of European football. I think they went out of the FA Cup against Grimsby. Was that the first round?
It was the League Cup, yeah.
That was very early. So they were out of the competitions early. They'd no European football. That was a big chunk of it, but that's the question mark over Manchester United this season. Can they be competitive within the Champions League? Can they get to, you know, quarter final somewhere in and around that? And you know, I'm sure Owen will probably have his finger on the pulse a lot more than me about this. What's the story with Marcus Rashford? Is he going to stay at Manchester United?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've said that probably the last three seasons at United. What's going on with Rashford? The strange thing for me is, if you were to tell me at the end of last season who's starting in that, you know, at the three up front on the left, I would have said Dorgu. Dorgu finished the season brilliantly before he got injured again. Cunha for me is probably the one who will start out there. Cunha and Mbeumo through the middle, and Ahmad on the right is the three I would start with. But as Owen said, when Šeško comes on, it has to be a change of tactics. It can't be running inside and one-twos with Šeško. It has to be down the outside and cross balls in. And I think United get that bogged down a little bit. And look, they, you know, I hear so much about United's DNA and high energy, high press football. There's going to be a lot of teams that will come to Old Trafford and try to disrupt and slow it down. And that's how United react to them. Can they keep forcing the tempo? Bruno Fernandes was brilliant. A lot of his assists last season were from set pieces or from dead balls. But he is their one world-class player that, you know, turns up on a consistent basis. But that Manchester United squad, they do need Lewis Hall. I'm a big fan of Shaw, but his injury record, he needs somebody there. And to bring in Lewis Hall at left-back, it's a brilliant signing, but probably a couple short to compete in the Champions League and give us another Champions Premier League race as well.
And that is available for you to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Remember to not miss a single second of our football coverage. Why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. That's all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. We'll be back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.